Chad, if you have another transmitter close by, it could be anything, two HTs. You're talking on one, and you have the other one on also, and you're talking to a repeater. I do this often because I have HTs as extension speakers in the house. You've heard me talk about that before. Well, when I press the push to talk on this radio, it completely saturates them. Now, if your antenna is 2 miles down the road, this is crazy, but if your antenna is 2 miles down the road, it probably wouldn't saturate. But the antenna is picking up what the repeater is repeating. It will pick up, if it's tuned to receive the frequency, it will pick up the frequency because you're just pumping it out into the air. That's what your antenna's doing. Your antenna's receiving the signal you're radiating, and your scope is making it possible to see it. And yes, you'll see the modulation of voice going up and down. That's not unusual. That's not exactly what you would call RF in the shack. It's RF that's being picked up by the antenna. KK4JBQ.
In a little bit, I'll be back. I have to take answering, but it's something you got to think about. KI4LCI.
Alright, well, maybe I need to. I don't know yet. I understand what you're saying. Don't get me wrong. I get it. That makes perfect sense. But how can I isolate? I should be able to isolate. How do I isolate the repeater noise or repeater signal from? How do I get that? I guess I just need to go to a frequency that there's no incoming signal and. I don't know. I need to think about this. It's a whole lot different now that I can see it. I had no idea. This is a lot of. Let me think about this for a minute. KO4NUE.
KO4OIM. You got me sitting here dying laughing because you done got me confused, Chad. I have never tried sitting here with my scope out looking at the signal I was receiving. But, boy, how do you do that? You turn your feet down on millivolts. How would that RF sampler go between my radio and the antenna and BNC connector on back to hook my scope to, because it's just picking up the stray RF in that box where the antenna switch was. And, you know, I was watching YouTube and Dave Kessler, KO4OG, yeah, I'm a hoggy. He was explaining this. He said, you don't be fooled by that. Just set your scope up there. He told you how to set it up. You just hit your key or the key on your mic. And I was doing it to see if I had any key clicks on my key for CW. And it'll show you that envelope up there, whether it's square or tapering off or you got a sharp point going up for the click. But that's when I realized, yeah, no matter what, you got an RF in here. And I'm going to have to try that tomorrow. I ain't going back there and dig that scope out and set it back up in here tonight just to see if I can see the waveform on there from an incoming signal. But doggone it, Chad, you asked some very interesting questions. Thank you.
I mean, what you want me to say, Walt? You told me to do it, so I did it. And now I'm trying to figure out what I'm looking at. Like, did you get my video? 4LAM, KL4NUE.
Larry must be laying in the floor laughing. I don't know.
Hey, if I send you this video, can you see it on your phone?
Yeah.
Until you stand by. KK4JBQ, you still in there, Larry?
I'm here for the duration. Earlier you used the word isolation. This is what a choke is. It isolates. And I would suggest that you keep that in your toolbox of ideas and use them liberally when they're necessary. This reminds me of something I heard someone say about a scheduled CUSO that a fellow was going to have that evening with a friend of his who lived 2-3 miles away, and they were practicing CW, and he was practicing on his rig connected to a dummy load. And you know, a dummy load is supposed to radiate nothing. But when they got together, the fellow that he was going to contact admitted, "I heard everything that you were doing when you were practicing." And he was 2 or 3 miles away. There is RF generated in the atmosphere, even with a dummy load, on 5 watts, QRP power. So a sensitive enough receiver, and modern rigs are very sensitive, will pick up signals even from a dummy load. They're intended to do that. They're designed to do that. And the only way for stray RF, RF that you want to reject, RF that is detrimental to your signal, showing up as a high noise floor or spikes and that sort of thing, is to isolate. And the shield on the coax will isolate. But it has to be connected to a good ground. Everything has to have good grounding, or you will get RF and a high noise floor, even in a pristine wooded environment. I meant to ask you about that sometime, and we will another time ask you about how your operations are at the deer camp versus at the home in your shack. Maybe for another time. KK4JBQ.
Hey, well, I'm going to turn this thing off. I can't focus on what I'm saying. Let me turn it away for a second. Okay, well, that's pretty interesting. I never thought to do that, Walt. And when you can see what's happening, man, that's something else. I wish I'd have thought of this. I mean, I wish you'd have mentioned this a couple of months ago. Now I'm able to see what is happening, and that's a different ball game. Boy, I'm hell now. I can see it. KL4NUE.
NUE, K4OIM. Chad, I am so glad you got your ham license and become a technician. Because you really do. You get in your ass to questions. That you just blow my mind sometimes. And thanks to Larry and Andy and Dave, there's always somebody in here to try to explain what's going on. I'm proud of you, Chad. But I've got the same problems you got with RF. I just don't know what to do about it. I told my daughter I'd buy her two new lamps up there. You turn it down the dam, or you put it on brighter, you cut them off. But it don't do it. I can just run 100 watts on the, or 90 on the sideband. It don't bother. It's when I go to CW. They click, 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 them lights off, on, off, on, up, down. But, thank you, Larry, for sticking in here and trying to help me explain to Chad about RF and grounding. And, Chad, I didn't realize this till about a year ago. If you got more than one ground stake in the ground for your station, your ground rod should be at least 6 feet apart. And they say don't daisy chain them. Don't run all your ground wire like from your radio or your gear or your antenna tuner or your amplifier to one ground. You've got to run the one ground, and you can't run a ground wire from that ground to the next ground. You've got to individually run a ground wire from each piece of equipment to the other ground. And it's good for rocks all around your ground rods and make sure that the ground stays down.
So, I got this antenna stuck on the end of this thing. I put my cell phone up next to it. And its cell phone is not, I mean, it's not, the screen's not lit up or anything. And I'm getting something coming out of the cell phone. If I turn the screen on, oh my word, it goes crazy. And then my mouse, if I move the mouse, I'm picking up something. If I switch the SWR meter I've got hooked in with the radio and antenna here, if I switch it in between the snaps, it's, this place is noisy. I mean, my goodness, I had no idea that all this was, I mean, I'm going to hook a wire to it and start sniffing around trying to figure out what all this RF is, where it's coming from. Can I do that? I need to make a sniffer. Can you have an RF sniffer? Can you make one of those? And I'll just plug it into the input, and now that I can see it, I just point it and figure out where my problems are. Can I do that?
If it's that, man, you got a bad RF problem in your shack. Something ain't grounded correct. Boy, I'm sitting here with a smart TV on top of my HF station, and I can get on there, I can key up my on CW, it don't bother the signal. If I get on there on the phone band, it don't bother me. It don't bother my cell phone. But the only thing I'm bothering is my daughter's touch lamps up there. But if it's doing that to your phone inside your shack, you've got bad problem with RF. Something ain't grounded.
Then, Walt, is that I can move things close to the antenna, or every time I do, I mean, to the antenna going to the oscilloscope. If I put my cell phone near it, it changes the signal. In other words, it's detecting something. I guess it's coming off the cell phone. I mean, I don't know what else I can do as far as grounding goes. I mean, I've got 3 ground rods in the ground, and they're everything is hooked to the grounds. I don't know what else I can do as far as that goes. But what I'm saying is that the antenna on the oscilloscope is, well, the oscilloscope is sensitive enough to where if I do anything that gets RF near it or changes, or an action, if I change a switch or if I key the mic or this, that, and the other, I'm not sure it's a problem. I'm just saying that the oscilloscope is picking it up. And I guess it would if I put an antenna on the end of it.
See how it could be that sensitive, especially your cell phone, if you're getting it just up there close to the scope and you ain't got the scope connected to a RF sampler going to the radio. That's the only way you ever hook a scope up to a radio is through a transmitter, is through the RF sampler. But, Chad, I've been lost for here. I don't know what to tell you.
Walt, I don't think it's a problem. What I'm saying is that how do I word this? If you put an antenna on something, an antenna's going to do what it does. And now I'm able to see all of the noise in the ham shack. I think that's just part of this equation. I mean, if I turn the monitor off, the signal changes. If I turn the monitor on, the signal changes. So I just think things are just generally noisy, is what I'm seeing here. And I think that may be just the way it is. I don't know. It's going to take me a little bit of time to try to digest what this is doing. But, I mean, if I turn the light on in here, let's see. Yeah, if I turn the LEDs on, the lights in the room. Oh, my word. That's not a grounding problem, I don't guess. I think it's just noisy, period. But I've never been able to see it. But now I can see what the noise looks like, and I don't know, this is a little different world here. I mean, I'm kind of excited, actually. That's kind of neat. KL4NUE.
Oscilloscope and watch the different wave patterns on it. But Chad, my scope, I ain't gonna go dig it out, but I can set my scope in here right now. And it'll be flat line. Just that horizontal line on it. Till I hit the push to talk button on the transmitter. And like I said, I've wasted almost $30 or $40 on that RF sampler. But I can sit here and watch my transmit signal on the scope. But other than that, it's just flat line.
Mir, you once got a defective scope then. That's the only thing I can think. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about this for a little bit. I think it's just general noise. That's what I think. From whatever. I mean, I turned, like I said. Did you get my video, Walt? Can you see what I'm looking at?
Yeah, I can see it. Like I said, I can't explain it. Boy, that's an old scope. I'd love to have one of them. Man, I like that scope. Have you got anything to say to him about what he's seeing on that scope, and it ain't even connected nowhere, just close to the antenna?
KBQ. What I was talking with Donna.
Larry, he was talking about, he just got his scope sitting there on the desk. It's not connected to nothing, but every noise that goes on in his shack, his scope is picking it up, showing it on up on the screen. And my scope, if I sit it here on the desk, it's just flatlined till I start transmitting. And then it will show me the wave pattern of my sideband signal, the envelope, and let me know if I got any spikes or whatever on it. But they said his scope's picking up all the noise in his shack.
Tail 4 NUE. Just understand, I've got the scope on the table. And when I have got an antenna that has a BNC connector on it. When I plug the antenna into the scope, I can see the waveforms of whatever action I do in the ham shack. If I turn the lights on, I can see the frequency change. If I turn the monitor on, it changes. If I turn it off, it changes. But if I disconnect the antenna, it flatlines. It's not. So that's why I'm saying that with the antenna plugged up to it, it's detecting. I mean, it's doing what an antenna is supposed to do. And the oscilloscope is interpreting what the antenna sees and putting it up on a screen for me to see. That's what I'm saying, is that without the antenna, it's just a flat line that goes across. There's nothing. But when the antenna's plugged up, I'm able to see all of this, whatever it is in here. And I don't know how to fix a RF coming off of a LED light. I mean, I don't know what to do about that. I'm not even saying it's a problem. I'm just saying that I can see it. And I had no idea that it was that noisy. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm just, I don't know, this is kind of new, kind of funky. I kind of like it, really. That's interesting. KO4NUE.
I hear all these guys on the radio on HM talking about LED lights, how much interference they cause. I've got two LED lamps sitting here on my operating desk. I've got a 4-foot LED light up over my workbench over there, and nobody's ever complained about it. And I've heard people, like I was telling Gary the other day, KI4DOS, about power supplies. Hams put down switching power supplies. No, you gotta have a linear, because the switching supplies caused so much RF interference. I ain't never had a complaint. I've never had a linear supply. never had a complaint. I mean, it's to each his own, Chad.
This is all very interesting. It really is. I would suggest a couple things. An oscilloscope is probably the most sensitive piece of test equipment that anyone has available to them. And set, you know, the settings on the scope will allow you to listen to certain parts of the electromagnetic spectrum, or all of the magnetic spectrum, which must be kind of where yours is set currently. We live in a sea of RF. There are everything, including LEDs, including, but the thing about a radio is that there are stages inside the radio, which after the antenna sends it everything it hears, an antenna is just a big ear for RF, it sends it everything it hears. There are stages inside the radio which are quite discriminating, and they only pass on to the stage which amplifies those signals. And that's a design decision that is made every single day when designing anything that's electronic, anything having to do with electricity. And you can sniff, you were talking about a sniffer earlier, you can sniff RF with an AM radio tuned off station. MSJ makes what they call a big ear, and it's something similar to that, and allows you to go, if you have power line noise, you can go and point this, it's a parabolic dish, and it receives something in the near field and amplifies it. So if you point it to a transformer that is noisy, you can identify which transformers are a problem to you. This is a subject that is very wide and very deep. I do think to do the best you can to ground your station, and that eliminates a lot of near field RF. It also will eliminate, along with the isolation transformer, it will eliminate near lightning strikes. That's within, say 10 miles or so from you. You get a big static crash. And, even air blowing across the elements of your antenna will cause static electricity to build up to the point where it discharges. And if it discharges as it should, it goes to ground. It's looking for the quickest way to ground. If you don't supply a good ground, if you don't isolate with a choke, then lots of bad stuff can happen. This is a big subject. I mean, this is the biggest, you've stuck your shovel into the biggest treasure trove of questions in amateur radio. KK4, thank you.
Shoveling it now for about 6 months, so why stop now? Here's what I'm saying, is that now that I see what's happening, I'm not sure I'm necessarily asking a question. I initially asked a question, and the question was, when you solder coax onto the back of a PL259 where you separate the jacket from the center connector, does it leak? I don't even have to ask that question now, because what I'm seeing here is that everything is leaking. The LED lights are leaking, the monitors are leaking, the cell phone is leaking. I think it's just a sea of noise. That's what I think. But I will say this, after being able to physically look at this signal, understanding now, here's the connection I've made, understanding how sensitive a radio is to electromagnetic or a frequency, which is an electromagnetic wave, I can understand now that a lightning strike does not necessarily have to hit your station to damage a radio. If my radio is as sensitive as this oscilloscope is by putting the antenna on it, then I understand now. Or I understand more than I did 40 minutes ago. So, I still want to do some more experimenting now that I can see it. It's, yeah, that shovel's going to go deeper. I don't necessarily know that, and I mean, that'll go on inside here. Next thing I'm going to do is add me a length of coax to this antenna. Now I'm going to start sniffing around, trying to figure out where my noise areas are. But, I mean, I'm not having a problem with signal. I'm not having a problem that I'm aware of. It's just, what I'm saying is, I had no idea that it was this noisy RF-wise. I had no idea. And that's just interesting to see. I mean, you see the video. I mean, there it is. So that's what I'm trying to say. I don't think there's any questions for me to ask right now other than I don't have a way to measure the amplitude accurately or the modulation or the frequency or anything. I don't think this scope will do that. I think all it's going to let me do is just visually see what is already there. And that's new, and that's interesting. And now I've been able to make a couple of connections that I'm not fully knew. Now I do. That's what I'm trying to say. So with that, KO4NUE.
Billy K4OIM. Chad. Anytime you put a connector in your feed line in coax, you're going to have loss. It's radiated out. Probably one of the worst ones most new hounds make, if they got their antenna 100 foot away from the house or from the radio, and they ain't got but 50 foot of coax, and they go buy another 50 foot, and put a what they call a barrel connector in there. Oh, man, it's something like 30 or 40% loss you lose in that barrel connector that goes out RF either. Well, since they switched to digital TV, it don't mess with TVs that much. I don't think hams even bother HD TVs now. But you're going to have loss anytime you put a connector in there or add a component in there. When you put a jumper from your radio into an external antenna tuner, all that, you're going to have loss. And it's going out, it's RF out into there. But, man, I enjoy you asking questions, Chad. I'm going to have to get up here and go to bed. Oh boy, it's 11:30, and I missed the news. So, this is K4OIM. I pick you up there and get in bed before my daughter starts calling. Daddy, it's time you come home. Larry, KK4, JBQ, and KI4LZI. Andy, if you ever come back from your shot, and KO4NUE. Chad, I'm going to say 73s and get up there and get in the bed. And 73s, I've enjoyed it. And thank you again, Chad, for the questions.
Well, have a good night, bud. Yeah, so, Larry, I'll hang around with you for a few more minutes, but let me let you comment on this, and I'll tell you what else I want to tell you. Go ahead, Larry.
Night's rest. You had a big day, and we're all so pleased. So terribly pleased for the news that you got today. I can't imagine what you're feeling like. So sleep on it and cherish this new knowledge. Who knows where it can go? But we're all thinking about you. KK4JBQ. You've got a really nice oscilloscope there. I would recommend one YouTube channel above all others in the use of that device. You may know about it already. You may watch this guy. It's a channel called Mr. Carlson's Lab. He is the finest technician with electronics that I've ever seen. He will take a piece of gear, whatever it is, if it's a ham radio, if it's a broadcast wide coverage receiver, if it's a guitar amplifier, if it's from the 40s, the All-American 5 tubes that for AM that they were making back then, he will step through there and he does marvelous jobs of restorations. When he finds something that's amiss, and he understands why, bad design, well, he'll design his own solution for it, print up his own boards for it, put it together, explain it all, and as far as the scopes are concerned, he's helped me realize, I've never owned one, but he's helped me realize that they are so sensitive, you can just bring your probe close to a test point, and that's all you can do. You can just loosely couple, as I think is the way he puts it, and read the results on the scope. And of course, everything has to be set up whether you're injecting a signal into the circuitry or whatever. You don't have to, you shouldn't make direct connection many times. You just loosely couple it by laying the probe close to the device under test. It's pretty fascinating. KK4JBQ.
So now I can see how this is useful, because you're able to physically look at a signal and measure its frequency and amplitude and this, that, and the other. But you're able to also see if there's something on that signal that you don't want, or maybe there's something on the signal you want. You can see that. I can see where that would be very useful. I mean, this is pretty neat, actually. So, at any rate, that's been a good night. Been a real good night. So, anyway, I'll break for now. I'll take a break for just for a second, and I'll let you comment, and then I'll move on to the next.
Well, here's another little piece for your shovel. There is a device. Not many hams own this device. Walt probably does. I'm sure he's acquainted with them. Called a station monitor. It does include an oscilloscope, but one that's especially constructed to show things that should be of interest to a ham. And one is, let's just take one thing and look at it. One is to monitor your audio. We've said very often, at least I've said very often, that you cannot hear yourself. You must rely on someone else to tell you what your signal is like, whether your audio gain is too high. If you use a rig that has compression, whether you're overcompressed. Well, a station monitor will show you that because it's in line with your transceiver. And it will, if you ask it to, it will show you the waveform of your audio output. And it's the only thing I know of that you can use locally in your own shack to determine what your signal is like. Not many people use these. They're not inexpensive, but, you know, might be had on the secondary market. Especially since a lot of people don't know how to use them and don't really care, you know. But you've heard people, especially on this repeater, you've heard people that are overdriving the mic. They're either, well, on stage, we would call it eating the mic. And you've seen performers go right up and just, you know, chew on the windscreen of a microphone. This is not good. But it's their way of doing things, and some have a particular sound because of that, and they wouldn't give that up. They eat the mic. And others have, especially in studio recording, which I have a little experience with also, those studio quality microphones have windscreens that keep you at, well, maybe 4 inches away from the diaphragm of the microphone. There's a reason for that. They're very sensitive instruments, and they will overdrive if you get too close. Our microphones will overdrive if you get too close. But how do you know that? You have to trust someone else hearing your transmitted signal to tell you. A station monitor will help improve your signal in that sense, and it does other things as well. KK4JBQ.
All right. Well, tonight was a good lesson. I'll find another solution for the patch panel, because now that I'm seeing kind of what's happening in here, I don't think that's gonna be feasible, really. But that, I'll be honest with you, that does have me rethinking where my radios are as far as, you know, DC power goes. I definitely need to rethink some things. But that's okay. I mean, that's part of the process, right? So it just, I wonder when I'll quit learning. You think that'll ever happen? I don't think so. I'm seeing that now. You get one question that pops up, and then you get it answered. Then there's 5 other tangents to run off on. And before you know it, 20 years have gone by before you can get those 5 questions answered. But that's, hey, nothing wrong with that at all. That's the fun part for me. So I'm good with it. But I did learn, and that's all that matters, I guess. But at any rate, had a pretty good day today. Built another Slim Jim today for one of our club members, and we're gonna go try it out. Maybe try it out this week. See how that works. And so it's been a good day. Just want to stop by and check in with you for a little bit and see how he's doing. Kind of got distracted with the questions and all. But it was a good afternoon. Really good. So you and Miss Donna doing okay?
Oh yeah, I'm doing fine. She was ushering tonight at the Greenville Little Theater, I believe. They had a show called Elf. Live actors, a theater in the round, I believe. I've not been there, but Donna ushers, and so she gets to see all these shows because she ushers. And she brings it home, and it was a delightful to play, as she put it. Before we leave, there were a couple things that come up tonight that I have to mention. One is that patch panels are something that are made commercially. And not that you should buy one, but looking at the design of, MFJ makes several, all kinds of connections. You can learn a great deal by observing a commercial product and making your own after that. And another thing, Walt was absolutely correct about daisy chaining grounds. It's a convenient thing to do, but there should be a single point in your shack where ground is available. And this goes out and to the ground, the ground field that you have, at your disposal, ground rods, all of them connected. Yes, they shouldn't be more than, I've heard 12 feet, that they should be at least 12 feet apart. Walt had another number, but I know this because my patio is 12 feet wide, and I have one ground rod at one corner, and if I want to make the bend around the patio, which is, of course, a concrete slab, and go to my electrical ground, which is at the electrical panel out there, then I must make the turn with a ground rod and then connect to the electrical ground for the electricity. But all of that comes into one point in the shack, and each piece of equipment, which should be grounded, has its own wire, and it should be a heavy gauge wire, or copper braid. It actually has a white metal coating on it, but it's braided, it's flat braided. This is the best thing. Well, it's nearly the best thing. The best thing would be very expensive. That's 2-inch wide copper strips. And some people do that. But braid will work just fine. Each piece of equipment goes to the single point ground. And while it's still outside in your grounding system, if you have an outside antenna, when it's grounded out there, that's where you put your polyphasers, your antenna, your lightning arresters, that sort of thing. Turn with lightning, that's where you put your polyphasers. It's an interesting hobby. KK4JBQ.
I'm enjoying it. just get to learn something every single day, not just one thing, but several. And it's really neat to be able to finally make a connection. I get real excited when that happens. And it's just more of a motivator to ask more questions, or as you would say, dig your shovel out and just go straight for it. No other way to do it, I guess, for me. But at any rate, good day, and I hadn't had an opportunity to talk with you lately, so just wanted to drop by and say hello and see that all was good. So sounds like it is. So I'm gonna bring it to a close here in a minute. I'm showing my tired. I met with some club members tonight, and I just have a dinner, and we had a good time, and that was nice to be able to do that, and had a nice meal and some good fellowship, and just all good. I mean, I got no complaints. KO4NUE.
KK4JBQ. I was putting two and two together, and I figured December the 4th, it seemed that, well, I've been listening to so many repeaters here lately because I have such a good antenna now. I've told you about that. I can just hear everybody. It's such a thrill to have an antenna that works well. But I heard December the 4th maybe as your club's Christmas party gathering, maybe that was it. But you're the man at the head of the table as far as your club is concerned now, and I'm glad that they've got a president that's a personable individual. I can tell you that I've been in organizations where the guy at the head of the table was not very personal or personable. And not very likable, but your club is totally different. It's going to be everything's going to be made over. Human relations are sort of like amateur radio in that everything affects everything. KK4JBQ.
The past president, the guy who helped put the repeater in, I just could not imagine having to do what he's done over the years. I mean a functioning repeater for the community. I mean, that's, to me, that's pretty amazing. I mean, just how do you do that? Where do you start? I mean, it's one thing. I've got a little Kenwood in here that's a little crossband repeater that I use to help with the handy talkies here on the farm. I mean, that's one thing, but to have an actual repeater site that, contributes to the community. I mean, that blows my mind. I just see how in the world you find the knowledge and the motivation to do that. I guess, I don't know. That takes a lot of skill, motivation, drive. I don't even know how to describe that, really. And the one thing that I've noticed being a part of the club the short time I have is that it, as far as the club's repeater goes, or everybody's repeater, I keep calling it the club's repeater, but you know what I mean, is that it just becomes part of the order of things. It's just like it's, okay, well, it's always been there, and we just use it, and it's just, but nobody stops to think, you know, what it takes to get one there and to keep it running and, you know, the relationships that have to be formed and the skills that the team or the group of guys or the individual that started it. I mean, you know, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot, if you think about it. I'm afraid, though, that most people don't really think about it. I think they buy a radio, and they push the button. And when they push the button, somebody else talks. But nobody thinks about, you know, what it took to make that happen. And that in itself for me is just an amazing process. And I don't know, Larry, I'm just, you know, I'm really excited to even have this opportunity to try to contribute to the club and the community and just be a part of this. I mean, it's just, I'm just amazed with the whole thing, and I'm just really excited, to be honest with you. And you know, I mean, I don't want to get all weird and stuff, but I'm just saying that that's nice. It's really nice to have something like this to that people can use. I mean, I wouldn't say for nothing, but I mean, you know what I'm trying to say, I guess. Let me let it drop, and then KO4 NUE, go ahead and take it, Larry.
KO4 LCI back.